Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the Daily Friend Wrap. I'm your host, Nicholas Lorimer, joined today by Sarah Gon. Let's get into the first news story of today, and this is a fight that I think has been a long time coming in our politics, and that is that it looks like Siviwe Gworube, the DA Minister of Basic Education, has fired her first salvo against the power of the teaching unions in South Africa's education system. So up until now, Gworube, since her appointment as Basic Education Minister, I think has kind of tried to play a bit nice when she met with the various trade unions around the country, particularly SADTU. Despite very fierce opposition from them, she kind of promised that she would be open to talking to them and that she wasn't going to ignore them and that they were definitely part of the conversation about how our schools should be run. But she's also decided, it seems now, to start laying down the law about what influence the unions should and shouldn't have. So while speaking to a gathering of 850 principals and deputy principals in the Eastern Cape, Gworube said that unions are important stakeholders, but they should not be allowed to usurp the powers of the department and school communities. Quote, "We are determined to create a professional teaching environment, and although teachers' unions play an important role, we must beware against undue involvement of unions in appointments. They cannot dictate who is appointed to lead schools. We must improve human resources capacity to ensure a proper appointment process." She didn't reference any union in particular, but the biggest union that has had a lot of influence over the education system for a long time has been the South African Democratic Teachers Union, SADTU, who over the years has engaged in an enormous number of strikes and has often pressured government officials to appoint principals and various other people amenable to its interests into positions of power. And in many ways, much of the government school system, particularly in South Africa's poorer schools, is essentially the sort of playground of SADTU. Gworube went on to say, "The competency of school principals is therefore considered a national imperative, which poses an enormous challenge to our education system. Our vision as a sector is to have a school principal who ensures that teaching in the school takes place as it should according to the national curriculum, but also understands his or her role as a leader whose responsibility is to promote harmony, creativity, and sound work ethic within the school community and beyond. For this, leaders with appropriate administrative skills and professional education management competencies are needed. The sector has for too long lacked accountability among politicians or school leadership, and we should demand a lot more from both, whether they are political leaders or principals." Sarah, this to me sounds like an eminently good thing to start talking about, because I think South Africa's education is not underfunded, as some people would have you believe, but very much badly run. Money is spent extremely poorly, and things are not going to get better for millions and millions of South Africans until our education system is able to produce good education outcomes. What do you make of this?
It's long overdue, and it's basically the result of the legacy that the ANC has left us by being in a tripartite alliance that included COSATU. It's given COSATU unions way more power than a union is meant to have. Unions don't play a role in the determination, or should never play a role in the determination of staff at all. Their job is to represent their membership, but their membership doesn't include people who haven't yet been appointed. But they were known from a report some years ago that Angie Moshekin never seems to have done anything about having developed such a level of sort of corruption and interference and control that it effectively controlled 6 out of 9 departmental education departments. I don't know whether that's still the case, but it is long overdue, and it's part of that sort of staring down the other side that both Celia Brink did with the union in Pretoria, and Jordan Hillers did with the taxi association in Cape Town. It's totally unacceptable, and I wish I would give all support for doing so.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's going to be a very difficult challenge, though, in order to overcome the entrenched power of the unions. And I suspect that the ANC, who, of course, hold the majority of power in cabinet, are not going to be particularly supportive of Minister Gworube's efforts here. However, it is, as you say, it's long past time that SADTU's influence over the appointment of people like principals was curtailed in order to have good education outcomes. Okay, let's move on to our next story. This is about South Africa's prisons. Freedom Front Plus Prime Minister Pieter Groenewald was replying to questions in Parliament, and an EFF MP asked whether ministers would install signal jammers in prisons to restrict communications between inmates and those outside, after reports that inmates are able to participate in criminal activity outside of prisons due to their access to cell phones. This is a major problem for cell phones all over the place, of course, that criminal networks use them to operate, to communicate within prisons, to communicate with people outside of prisons, to coordinate smuggling of contraband into prisons, to coordinate criminal activities outside of prisons. There's so much going on that it, you know, revolves around cell phones. And so the South African prison system is always trying to confiscate cell phones. They're not allowed to be had by prisoners. As you can imagine, however, our prisons have not been particularly well run up till now, and there's been a lot of difficulty in catching prisoners with cell phones. They're easy to smuggle in, they're easy to hide. So they continue to go on. So it seems to me that this is a pretty good suggestion here, actually, from the EFF. And Minister Groenewald agrees. He says the department acknowledges that simply removing cell phones is not a long-term solution. Therefore, the department will be implementing several strategic measures in line with national legislation and correctional facility regulations. It is intended to implement single signal jamming technology to disrupt cellular communication. Such technology is essential in preventing unlawful communications and maintaining control over inmates. Minister Groenewald went on to say that he would be requesting funding from Treasury to do this. And I think there, of course, lies in the major problem with this, which is that I suspect Treasury may be a little bit hesitant to hand out money, considering our financial situation is not great right now. But, Sarah, what do you make of this? I mean, South Africa's prisons have always been a place of essentially just kind of constant low-grade human rights abuses. They're overcrowded. They're badly run. Gangs are running amok. You know, this seems like a good sort of first step in maybe making life a little bit more difficult for gangs to run our prisons. What do you think of this?
Look, I think the thing that they're aiming to stop the most is the commission of crime from prison. And if cell phone jammers work, I know some have worked, my experience, better than others, but if it works for that to that extent, it's probably worth trying to do. Obviously, one of the problems is one of the ways that cell phones must get into prisons has to be through corrupt officials. And officials who probably like spending a good deal of their time surfing their telephones and their social media accounts. And the answer to that is it's probably worth trying to cut that down. Whether there'll be ways of getting around it very easily, I don't know. They probably are. But also, you know, if the prison employees want to communicate with people on the outside, they must use landlines during working hours.
I very much agree. Yeah, this I think this is a great example of kind of trying new things in order to prevent problems. And I think Minister Groenewald, much like Minister Kwarube, has a lot ahead of him in terms of trying to fix our prison system, which is not in a great state. But this does seem like at least potentially something that might help a little bit. Okay, let's move on to our last story for today. And this is from Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana, who has complained that the savings industry, the private savings industry, has not been willing to invest pension funds and insurance in state development finance institutions. Godongwana was speaking at the Land Bank's announcement that it had finally cured its four-year default by reaching a complicated debt restructuring solution with various lenders. Godongwana said at the end of his speech, it was not the right occasion to discuss this, but he just wanted to basically bring it up. He said, quote, for the past 3 years, we've been trying to negotiate with pension funds and insurers for direct access to the savings industry by state-owned entities such as the Land Bank and Industrial Development Corporation. We have not been successful. To me, it is a fundamental problem we have to solve. Now, there have been a couple of ANC ministers within the Government of National Unity, I think Godongwana and also Parks Tau to some degree, who have kicked around the idea once again of prescribed assets, that is basically forcing you to invest or bigger sort of insurance and pension investment companies to invest money in government projects, promising a return. Of course, it's very difficult to hold government to that account, to account on that. And, you know, Sarah, it's kind of, the minister seems to be sort of, not really taking in the context here. He's speaking at an event where one of these government state institutions has just recovered from a financial calamity due to mismanagement. And he's saying, oh man, why is the private sector not investing in our financial institutions? I mean, kind of seems to answer itself there.
Yes, well, to my untutored financial eye, this just looks like the minister having been involved in a very complicated situation to save the land bank, which, as you say, nearly has just virtually collapsed otherwise, either being under enormous pressure from the ANC or just kind of not understanding the private sector in that every one of the land bank, PIC, etc., they've all had moments of scandal or crisis or corruption-related things. Let's say this. It's a matter of trust. Pension funds do not owe Gordon Guano return. They owe their members the best possible administration of their money. And so to expect the private sector, even if it's government pension funds, to come on board is rather rich. But I suspect, and he alluded to it, that they're looking at, let's go the prescribed assets route, which would oblige organizations like pension funds to invest a certain obligatory amount into institutions like the state financial institutions. So it looks like we're in for another round of fight about the fact that there isn't a trust. We have to be certain of their probity. We have to be certain that corruption is negligible. We have to be certain of a lot before the private sector goes in. This is not news.
So us here at the Institute of Race Relations were involved in fighting government the last time it was kicking around the idea of prescribed assets, and I'm sure we're going to get stuck in again if government continues to push forward with this kind of ludicrous idea that it can just, order your money around as though it were its own. We're definitely going to push back on that. But anyway, thank you very much, everyone, for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. And that's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR. Or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.